We've heard the revival stories of ancient and old time glory. Spirit of God, come do it again. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Yeah, awesome. This service is getting a little fuller now. I like it. Praise God. All right. Well, we have a couple of announcements, but before we get into them, let's greet one another. And before we do, hold on. You guys are jumpy. If there's anyone who's new, do you mind raising up your hand? Or newish, kind of new? Raise your hand. Keep them up. We want to give you something. Oh, praise God. Got some hands up here. Keep them up so we can see you. All right, I think we got everyone. And if you didn't raise your hand, just see one of the ushers. They'll give it to you. It's a card. But anyways, we just want to welcome you. And for any of those that are new, my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here, and welcome to our church. But with that, let's greet one another.
He's gonna sing.
Tiny.
12 to 20, baby.
That's tiny.
I mean, can I read it?
Yes.
But if I glance away and come back, I'm like,
where am I?
Tiny, dude. You don't have problems like finding your spot?
Sometimes, but it's usually because I'm like,
yeah. Alrighty. Well, we have a couple of announcements that we want to share with you, but before we roll into it, we have a, if you go to our church app, the bulletin is there, and we have a lot of things going on here at the church, and it's a good thing. And but we don't cover all of the events and outreaches and things that we have going on in our announcements, but when we do announcements, we cover some maybe some things we want you guys to focus on. So before we get into announcements, I just want to share that. I'm sure you've heard that Sunday after Sunday. But just so you guys know, there's a lot going on. So check out the app and see what else is going on in the ministry. But with that, we'll roll the announcement video today.
Good morning, church family. Welcome to Calvary Chapel St. George. We are blessed to have you guys here with us this morning. If you would, please pull out your cell phones and turn it to silent mode or turn it off. You don't want to be a distraction to people around you during the service. And pull up the CCSG app. If you don't have it, you can download it. Click the bulletin tab and we'll get right into the announcements. Thursday, February 22nd at 7 p.m., we're going to be having our karaoke night at the Harbor. All young adults ages 18 to 29 are invited to come out. We're going to be having free food, free espresso drinks, and obviously karaoke. I would encourage you to invite your friends to this. If you have any questions, you can contact Pastor Matt at matt@calvarysg.com. Friday, February 23rd, from 1 to 6 p.m., we're going to be hosting the Red Cross Blood Drive here at the church in the multipurpose room. If you'd like to sign up, you can go online to redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code CCSG.
Baptisms are coming up February 25th after third service. After giving my life to the Lord and getting baptized last September, I strongly encourage anyone who feels led to be baptized. Sign up in the Connection Center by filling out a personal testimony form and turning it in. If you are new to Calvary Chapel, we're inviting you to join our pastors, staff, and leaders for a free newcomers luncheon on February 25th at 1 p.m. They would love to introduce themselves and get to know you. Sign up online or on the app by going to upcoming events to register.
Hey everyone, you may have noticed some changes to coffee ministry over the last year. We're excited to officially announce our espresso ministry, Pour Out. We're an additional but separate ministry from Drip Coffee. So for espressos, lattes, matcha, or chai, come visit the Pour Out baristas behind the counter in the East Commons. We're excited to serve ethical and quality products and have partnered with Christian companies, 7 Weeks Coffee and Little Prayer Tea Company. Our name pour out and our motto be filled come from 1 Peter 4:10 and James 2:16, which remind us to fill others' cups, both literally and metaphorically. We do this by using our barista skills to meet physical needs and fund ministries who meet spiritual needs. So 100% of your drink and tip costs go to our Ministry of the Month. Come see our tip board to see who we're supporting. For more information or to find your new favorite drink, stop by Pour Out. See you there.
At Calvary, we have different ways that you can give. You can give in person at our giving boxes, online at calvarysg.com/give, or through our app. Your faithful giving allows our church to continue our mission to go make disciples, grow servant leaders, and glorify God.
Like, go check out the app. There's a lot of things to do here at the church. But because there's so much that's going on, it's like we, like the video was saying, that it's because of your faithful giving we're able to stay on mission and continue to do the things that God has called this church to do. And we are all doing it together as a church. And so just thank you so much for the way you guys sacrificially give and give cheerfully. And so praise God for you guys as well. So if you guys want to stand, we'll pray for the tithes and offerings. And then we're going to continue in worship. Amen? Amen. You guys excited? This is like the last service. Like, you guys should be like the most awake. You guys got the most sleep. Maybe. Allegedly. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for, God, just the way that you have blessed this ministry. Lord, your hand is upon this church, upon its people, Lord. And God, the way that you put it on people's hearts, Lord, to be obedient, Lord, to you and to your word. And Lord, that the way that this church expresses its love for you through giving, Lord, is just a blessing to see, Lord, and that we're able to do the things that you've called us to do, Lord, and we're able to focus, Lord, on the things that you've called us to. And so, Lord, we're just grateful for the way that you move in and through this church. And so we pray for the offerings, Lord. We pray that you would multiply it, that you would allow it, Lord, to be used effectively, Lord. Give us wisdom in stewarding, Lord, the giving, Lord, of this church. And so we thank you, God, and we give it all to you, Lord. And so we love you, and we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Let's worship.
Now to stand. can I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Oh, so what can I say?
Thank you.
Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender. Come sweep me up in your love again, and my soul will dance on the wings of forever. Find me here at your feet again. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender. Come sweep me up in your love again, and my soul will dance on the wings of forever. My heart beating, my soul breathing, I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, spirit soaring, I touch the sky when my knees hit the. My heart beating, my soul breathing, I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, spirit soaring, I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground.
Father, we thank you so much for meeting with us this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we sang and just allowing the words to, Lord, soften our heart, the words that we sang, the ability to describe your character, your faithfulness, and your love toward us is amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do, for all that you will do in the future. God, we are blessed by you. And I pray that today we would fall to our knees, we would surrender all and live for you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. How's everyone doing? Good, good. Awesome. Listen, turn to your neighbor, give him a hug, and say, God bless you. All right. Well, listen, we're going to continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. And so if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'll make sure that our ushers get you one. And if you do not have one personally, please consider that a gift from us to you. And I got a couple of other things that I want to share with you as you're turning there to Mark chapter 10. Many of you have already seen what's happening in our West Commons area, but today we're having a ministry fair in a sense of being able to open up the opportunity for you to get plugged into ministry. Every single believer has a gift from the Lord, and we want to encourage you to use that gift. We have several areas of ministry that we could use help with, and I'll tell you, it is a blessing to see over 100-plus people show up a couple of weeks ago as we had our volunteer appreciation breakfast. It was such a sweet sight to see the room filled with people. And I just want to encourage you to, you can be a part of those ministries. So swing by, take a look at the table, talk with the ministry leaders. You can ask more information and then get signed up, because again, we could definitely not only use your help, but the Bible tells us that when we use our gifts unto the Lord, we are actually encouraging the brethren or the church. And so we'd love for you to be a part of that. Also, I also want to draw your attention to this. For those of you who may not know, we were blessed to have a piece of property up north called the Promised Land Resort, and we are getting ready to resume this year's schedule. And so if any of you like camping, if you have your own RV and you're looking for a place to go out and possibly stay and see things, and also if you have a desire to serve there, this is what we're asking. Come by the campsite. You can be there on the property, be a camp host, welcome people, help with small work duties, and then, of course, get a chance to enjoy the area that God blessed us with. And so if that's you, we could definitely use your help. You can sign up over at the ministry fair today, and it will definitely be a blessing to the people that are helping oversee that ministry for us. And so one last thing, and then we'll all stand. Ministry 101. We've announced this a couple of times, and like I mentioned already, that we had over 100-plus people sign up for the breakfast, and it was, again, blessing to see you all there. But this Ministry 101 is an opportunity for us to refresh current ministry leaders and volunteers, as well as those who want to become a part of that and start serving within the church. And so I hate using this word mandatory, but it's mandatory. And here's the reason why. We want to encourage people. We want to share some new things that God's doing within the fellowship. And even though you're currently serving, it would be a good opportunity for us to be refreshed with our church vision and mission. The very first training that we're going to do is about servanthood. So again, it's just an opportunity for us to keep growing, be refreshed, and encourage new people who are starting to take a step of faith and be a part of it. So again, if you're currently serving, I want you to be there. I have your phone number. I'm just kidding, I'm not going to call you. I'll have Michelle do it. But anyways, be a part of it, and I know you'll be blessed, okay? Let's all stand out of reverence for the word. We're going to begin Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. Then they brought little children to him, speaking of Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Father, what a beautiful picture. I enjoy not only reading it, but just having that visual in my mind of you embracing each and every one of these little kids. And what brings me joy is that you don't just do that for little kids. You do it for us. I'm so thankful that your arms are extended wide for all of us. I'm thankful that you welcome us and you ask us to come. So this morning as we're here, please take our hearts. Fill us with more of you, Jesus. Fill us with joy, peace, patience, kindness. Lord, fill our hearts with more of you. And so take full control of this service, Lord. We want you to be our teacher. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, we're also going to be taking communion, and I'm going to be going through this passage fairly quickly, I hope. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor Jerry, you don't know anything about being quick. So pray for me, okay? But listen, really quick. Last week, we looked at the Pharisees who approached Jesus, and they actually questioned him in front of a huge crowd of people about divorce. And the question that they asked was, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Mark revealed that they were not asking this question because they had a deep concern about divorce. But the reason behind it was that they were testing Jesus, trying to get him to slip, say something wrong, so that they may discredit him. And Jesus immediately did a few things. He pointed him back to Scripture. He revealed, yes, Moses may have, you know, or the religious leaders may have revealed, yes, Moses did permit it. But Jesus gave him the reason why. He said, because of the hardness of your hearts, that he allowed that to happen. And so one of the things that Jesus did was he switched from divorce and he focused on marriage. And Lord willing, we all walked away with some understanding of what marriage is. And the key thing that I pray we would all understand and know, if God is the creator of marriage, man has no right to set different standards or change things. God has already established it. And we looked at how marriage is between a man and a woman. The two of them will come together, be husband and wife. They will leave their parents' covering and begin their own family. We also witnessed that God created intimacy for those who are married, not outside of marriage, not just because you love each other, but within marriage, God has given husband and wife the gift of intimacy. The other things that we looked at was God desires a lifelong commitment. Again, marriage was not meant to be temporary, but permanent. And so I want to encourage us to, again, when you know what marriage is supposed to be like, and if your marriage is having difficulty, turn to the one who created it. It is so important that we reach out to him and not the things of this world. And so not only was marriage meant to be forever, but the other truth is this: even though it may be laid out in the scriptures that there are certain exceptions to divorce, what does the Bible say? That God hates divorce, period. Okay? And so we just want to make sure that we're being led by the Lord. And as much as he taught about marriage, Jesus now is going to talk about the kingdom of God. And this morning in our passage, I believe God has given a word for us as disciples, okay, as followers of Christ. He also has a word for us as parents. How many parents are in the house? Raise your hand. All right, good. Good number of you. All right. And then for those who are in the church, and that includes all of us. So I believe God has a special word for us today, and I want us to just go ahead and jump on in. But in verse 13, notice this. They brought little children to Jesus. Now, we know that he's in a different area. Last time we were in the passage, they were in a home discussing this conversation privately, and it's possible that Jesus and his disciples may have been hanging out outside of the home that they were staying at, or maybe they just decided to get out and get some fresh air. We don't know for sure. But what we do know is this, that people began to bring children to Jesus. And so what we need to understand is that this was not an uncommon scene during this day. Whenever parents would hear of a rabbi who was within their community, they would bring their children to the rabbi for what reason? To seek after them so that they may bless their kids, to say a special prayer over them, okay? And so I want you to kind of grasp this picture. And so even though Jesus hasn't been doing a lot of ministry in this new area on the east side of the Jordan, remember with me that his ministry blew up. Everybody was hearing about what Jesus was doing. Everybody, even in Jerusalem, heard about the things that he was doing. So now people are hearing that Jesus is in their neighborhood or in their town. And what do parents do? I want Jesus to bless my kids. How many of you would say, amen, that would be me? All right, praise the Lord. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, I'll talk to you later. But here, as soon as they start coming, notice the response of the disciples. It says that the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Now, the disciples were upset, and the word rebuke here means to express strong disapproval. Now, the disciples were unhappy with their actions. And the first question that came to my mind is why? Why were they so upset? I've heard different, you know, ideas of what it could have been. Maybe they thought that the children are bothering Jesus. Some may have said that, you know, maybe the disciples would like to give Jesus the rest that he needs, which is not a bad thing. But then also there's others who believe that in the disciples' eyes that children were unimportant, that Jesus had other important things to do, like teach adults. And so we don't know what their reasoning is, and those are some suggestions, but what I can tell you is that they had a completely different attitude than Jesus, which is, again, disturbing. Why? Because if these disciples were being prepared to take over the work of ministry after Jesus ascends into heaven, they are not acting like him. They're not mimicking him. They're doing the exact opposite. All throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus never saw people as an inconvenience. He never, ever thought that they were bothering him. He never, ever looked at anybody and said, you're unimportant. That's not Jesus. Throughout his ministry, listen, he was willing to touch people, even lepers. He was willing to pray for people. He was willing to serve people. And it didn't matter how big the crowd, and it didn't matter how long. Jesus showed amazing compassion and love for those who were sincerely seeking after him. And the reality is this, the disciples were acting the exact opposite. This is what, bothered the Lord. And notice this, notice Jesus' response. When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. Now Jesus is rebuking his disciples. What is seen here is that this word displeased means to be or become indignant, to become angry at something unjust and wrong. And so when we look at this picture, what bothered Jesus the most, again, is that his disciples were hindering people, and especially those who were bringing their children to Jesus. And if you can remember, he even warned them previously in chapter 9, anybody who would cause or keep anybody away from me, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck. So this is the second time we see Jesus saying something about not hindering people. And what I like about this portion of scripture is this. Jesus immediately speaks up and he says, let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them. Don't hinder them. Don't stop them. Let them come. And then Jesus gives the reason why. Notice this. For of such is the kingdom of God. What did Jesus mean by this? His comment here speaks of the kingdom of God literally belongs not just to adults, but even to children. As much as any of these, the kingdom of God is open. Though others may feel like they're unimportant, that's not how God sees them. And the beauty that I see here is he goes on and he explains verse 15, assuredly I say to you, in other words, what is he saying? I'm telling you the truth here. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Jesus wanted, listen, the disciples to know that the kingdom of God is not gained by human achievements or merit. You and I cannot do anything to earn our way into heaven. For those of you who think, I just need to come to church 4 times in a row, God's going to give me a star under my name, and I'm in. That's not getting into heaven. That's not it. For some of you who think, well, I tithe every week, we praise the Lord for your tithe, but that's not getting you into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. One of the important things that we must see in the scriptures, and that is this, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you must receive it as God's gift of trusting in who Jesus is, trusting in what he did on the cross, trusting that not only he died for the sins of the world, but he rose from the dead. Understanding and knowing that when he rose again, that's why we have hope that we will see him again, because he's alive. His resurrection, listen carefully, took away that penalty of being eternally separated from God. This is the beauty of the cross and the message of the gospel. And again, there is nothing in there that you nor I did to deserve it. It's all a gift. And so the reality is, Jesus is laying these things out. And in what ways is Jesus wanting children to be a pattern for adults to follow? And I'm going to try this, okay? I'm going to let you know it failed second service, but I'm going to give it another shot, okay? I hope to bring this picture to life. I want everybody to keep their eyes forward. Don't turn around. I'm going to call one of my grandkids up. Eddie, come on up to Papa. Your mama tell you to run to me?
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Mama's amazing. Guess what? Papa loves you. All right.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Tell your mama to take me out to lunch today, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
I know she's not tall. She's short. So some of you may not have saw this, but you know, the running and the arms extended open and immediately embracing. This is the picture that Jesus wanted the disciples to learn about entering into the kingdom of God. You know, whether it's Addie, some of you may have seen out in the commons area when I'm standing there talking to people, and you'll see some of my other grandkids. They'll scream out, "Papa," and they'll come running. It doesn't matter who's in front of me and I'm talking to. They're just like, "That's my papa. Get out of the way." But there's a complete trust. There was no hesitation. There's no, "I'm afraid of you." There's no, "I don't know you." It's full-on trust. And whenever my kids, like if other of my grandkids come and I'm at work and I get home late, and they're all at my house, I'll, you know, start doing the little noise with the key, and I just hear this, "It's Papa!" And they come running to the door and open it up, and I get smothered with hugs. That is what Jesus wants his disciples to understand, that we need to come to God with a childlike faith, because a childlike faith shows complete trust, complete surrender, and complete dependency. And I just love the fact that whenever we see a picture like this, that it brings home the point, this is the gospel that needs to be preached. We are Jesus' disciples today. We're followers of Christ. And we cannot be preaching a different gospel. We need to stay true to what the scriptures say, and we need to ourselves show that we trust God, that we have surrendered our life to God, and that we are depending upon God. Whenever somebody makes a confession of faith, there is absolutely trust in God. It is faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. When we give our heart to the Lord and we say the sinner's prayer and we confess our sins and so forth, what are we doing? We're surrendering. We're surrendering our heart into God's hands. And I want you to understand this. It's the same way as Addie came running, that I pray that we would run to Jesus. I pray that with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with everything that is within us, we would not run away from God, but we would run to God. Don't be a Jonah, okay? Don't compromise, because compromise will take you in a different direction. God desires that we give him our whole heart, that we surrender all. Not even 99.9. No, he wants all of our heart. And so he said it very clearly earlier in chapter 8. If anybody has a desire to follow me, what must they do? Deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. That was God's word. That was Jesus' words himself. And so this is exactly the same way that we need to come to the Lord. And then as we walk with him, depend on him. You know, whenever any of my grandkids, whenever they're hurt, whenever they're hungry, man, they immediately know mom or dad or papa or Mimi will take care of it. There's a complete dependency. And as we walk with the Lord, listen, all of us have a desire to be obedient. How well are we doing today? Is everybody doing it perfect? Yeah, I'll put my hand down. None of us do it perfect. But I think that's the desire, right? I mean, we don't wake up in the morning going, "I wonder how I can sin today." I pray that's not your prayer. But I think all of us are praying, "Lord, fill me. Lord, help me. I don't have it. I don't understand it all. I don't always get it right. But can you help me today?" And God will be faithful to pour out his Spirit. He'll be faithful to give you wisdom. He'll be faithful to give you the strength that you need, but you got to call. You got to run to him. And of course, the beautiful picture of him not just saying these things, but in verse 16, Jesus actually picked up a little child or picked up the children, put them in his arms. He embraced them, and then he blessed them. That's an amazing picture. You know, for Christmas this year, there's a brother in the Lord who gave me a special gift, and it's a portrait. It's an artist somewhere in Texas. I don't know exactly who the artist is, but it's of Jesus holding a little lamb, just embracing it. And what I enjoy about the gift is the gentleman who gave it to me said, when I saw this portrait, Pastor, it reminded me of you. And at first I'm all like, in what way? Like, you know. And he says, this is what I see in you, in your love for people, for the church, you shepherding you. And he says, like, I just feel like the only way you can do that is if you first are embraced. And I'm all like, dude, you're going to make me cry. And it's just an amazing thing to look at every morning or when I'm in my office. And I start getting frustrated or confused or I don't have the answers. I have to just look up and remind myself that my God has me. That's the image we all need to hold on to. And so what was the first lesson that I believe Jesus wanted the disciples to learn? Is that the kingdom of God is for everyone. John chapter 1 verse 12 to 13 says this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Anybody who believes, again, in who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, his death, his resurrection, okay, understanding the depth of that, you then become spiritually born, spiritually alive. That's what you hear people sometimes say, you know, what denomination are you, or what, you know, what is your affiliation? I don't like giving a church name. I like to say I'm a born-again believer. Amen. And the reality is that's what happens when we make that confession of faith. We become spiritually alive. A couple of other key verses I would encourage you to write down and take a look at. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for Yah, Y-A-H, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. It's a beautiful verse. A couple of others, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind, again, speaking of everybody, by which one can be saved. I am so blessed to look out from this point, from this point of view and seeing the diversity of our group. It blesses me. I know I kid around a lot about burritos and everything, and I don't know how many people like them and how many people hate them, but you'll come to the light soon. But think about this. There is no other reason. There is no other reason why we're here. You take Jesus out of the equation, and I guarantee you, because of all the different personalities, all of the different age groups, everything that some of us have grown up in our culture or what have you, we're just different. But yet, we're here in this one room. Why? Because of Jesus. That's awesome. And I pray that God would continue to build this church in that way. Because God loves everyone, right? I know already many of you know John 3:16, so I don't need to expound on that. But here again, what is the lesson? What can parents learn from this passage? Now I want to give a word to the parents. You know, for any of you who are husband and wife, and if God has blessed you and multiplied your family with kids, and many of you raised your hand, here's the word that God has given us today. It is so important for you to bring your children to Jesus. Okay? It is so important. We need to raise them up in the ways of the Lord, and the best way to do that is by living out your faith, living out God's word. I want to encourage all of us, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want us to see this and have an opportunity to just kind of go through it really quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is the fifth Bible in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." For those of you who may not know, this portion of Scripture is called the Shema. It's one of the most famous prayers recorded in the Bible, and it was a daily prayer for ancient Israelites, and it is still, listen, recited today among many Jewish people at least two times a day. One of the things that I pray that we would see in this passage is that Moses was exhorting the new generation of Israelites before they entered the promised land. What was his encouragement? Short and sweet. Listen carefully. Do not make the same mistakes as your parents. The first generation that left Egypt all passed away in the wilderness. Why? Because of disbelief. This new generation, God would then take them from the wilderness and allow them to enter into the promised land. So he's reiterating what's important. Don't make the same mistake. So how do we avoid it? The very first thing he says, love God with all that is within you. Love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. This is the first thing he was exhorting this generation to do. It starts with you. Parents, you want to teach your kids how to live for Jesus? Model it. We need to model it. We need to not just tell them to love Jesus. And if we're not, what are we doing? Confusing them. What are we doing? Sending a mixed message. One of the things that we need to do is give the Lord our whole heart. Surrender it to him. Because again, as you love Jesus, he will then teach you how to love your children. Now, show of hands, how many of you have more than one child? How many of you have more than five? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of us who raise your hand who have more than one kid know that they're all different? They're not. You can't use the same tactics on one as you did. You know, you need to ask God to help you raise your kids in a way that they understand. They're just different. And it's a challenge at times. And this, when you first become a parent, I remember, it's a cute baby. Everyone's baby's cuter than everybody else's, right? And I walk around and go, that's a cute little sinner. That's all it is. So I haven't gotten very much invites to pray for babies. But really, I mean, you think of it, like they're not saying, oh, when the baby's only sleeping 2 hours at a time. Like, it's your turn, right? I mean, it's challenging. Kids can be challenging, but they're such a reward. It's an expression of love. And as you raise these kids, we need God's help. But the greatest way to teach them is, again, you first need to have a personal relationship with God. That's what Moses said. Love him with everything. And then, what did he say? Teach your children. And here's my honest opinion. The greatest way you're going to teach your kids is by example. Because they learn by what they observe. Whether it's good or bad. I remember growing up, and during my teenage years, there was a commercial that was an anti-drug commercial. And I remember very clearly, there was a father who was yelling at his son who was sitting on a bed and who was holding onto this box. And in the box were obviously some drugs, and he's just yelling at him. And I can't believe you would do something like this. And, you know, where did you even get the money to buy this? And, you know, who is it that's selling it? And he's just asking all of these questions, and he's drilling him. And he's angry and upset. And he finally says, who taught you how to do this? And the kid is just sitting there, and he's just ready to blow. Like, he's just getting angry and upset. And the kid finally, as soon as his father stopped talking, and he asked that last question, the kid just turned around and looked at the father and go, I learned it from watching you. And again, our kids observe. Our kids see what we do. Our kids are there, and there's no way that you can tell them to do devotions if you're not doing devotions. There's no way that you can tell them to pray and if you're not praying. Notice with me what it said in that portion of scripture. Be diligent. Be consistent. Make every effort. Whether you're sitting in your home, whether you're going outside and walking around the block, whether you're eating at a restaurant, whether you are laying them down before bed, whether you're waking them up in the morning, you know what some of the most important sights that our kids need to see? Is if we wake up before them, that we're on our couch, kitchen table, with our Bible open, and us praying. I think that's the most powerful way for them to learn. We take Jesus serious, you need to take Jesus serious. We need to lead by example. The other powerful thing, again, when you're talking with your spouse, are you complaining about your day? Are you gossiping about people, or are you thanking God for your day? Are you, you know, building up other people and talking about those things that you have been blessed to do for the Lord? Do your kids hear you talking about Jesus? Because I will commend you. You're here and you're bringing them to church. That's awesome. But can I also encourage you with something? Don't leave Jesus here. Take him home. Take him home. And so if you're not willing to teach your kids, here's a scary quote for you. I don't know who wrote this, but I got it off of one of the sites that I was looking at. It said this: if you don't teach your children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. That's pretty scary. Parents, my encouragement, my exhortation to you, it is your responsibility to raise your kids in the ways of the Lord. What I say next, I don't want you to get the misunderstanding, but it is not the church's responsibility. We as a church, I'm going to share my heart with you right now. Are you guys ready? We as a church do not provide childcare. We love your children. And every single person who is in those classrooms, we are wanting to raise up and equip. That's why we have discipleship training for them. That's why we do these things of getting together, being refreshed by our vision, understanding what servanthood is. Why? Because we're not a daycare. We want your kids to know about Jesus and know him, not just because of a name. And I don't think I need to preach to the choir about this, but you already know we used to make this statement in the past, which we need to correct today. And that is, we need to be an extension of God's love to the generation behind us. You know what? Love me or hate me, but we have not been doing a great job in loving the previous generation. We have not done a good enough job developing and allowing people to see Jesus at a young age. We even need to go into elementary school. Why? Because the public school systems are teaching things that are definitely contrary to what the Bible says. And I want you to think about this, parents. They spend 6-7 hours in school. They get homework. They got all that time. And if you're not reading and checking and doing your homework too and seeing what they're being taught, you're allowing the school system to teach them. You're the parent. It is our responsibility. God has given us that responsibility to raise our kids. So what is our commitment? We're going to come alongside of you. We're not the main teachers. We're here to come alongside of you. And again, I take children's ministry serious in the fact that I am even willing to not be here on a Sunday to be there with your kids. For those of you, you're getting ready to hear an announcement coming up next Sunday. We're getting ready to start a new ministry in children's ministry, or a new class, I should say. And the class is called Armor Up. It is geared toward fifth graders who are transitioning into sixth grade. Why? Because they're going to be challenged in their faith. We want them to know what it means to be born again. We want them to know what they're going to be facing in their schools. So this is a commitment on our part, willing to do this. Parents, we're coming alongside of you. And we're asking that you would be committed into doing it. We do all of these things because we want our kids to know Jesus. The Bible tells us very clearly, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is so important that we continue to plant those seeds in our kids' hearts. And again, the greatest teacher is the one who leads by example. I know for a fact, listen, how can we do, I just want to spend a little time because I think it's so important. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, I don't even know how to do a devotion. And listen, all I want you to do is commit to reading God's word to your family. Not a consistent reading of God's word. Share what you know. I'm going to tell you right now, don't make the mistake I did. When my kids were 2, 3, and 6, I thought I was going to keep them on the kitchen table for 45 minutes and preach a message. That ain't going to happen. Just open up God's word and read it to them. And just ask them a simple question. Do you know what Papa just read? Do you know what Dad just read? Do you understand it? Let me share just one thing with you in 5 minutes. As they get older, you can take that 5 minutes and turn it into 10. Just get in the habit of reading and letting them hear the beauty of God's word. Buy a children's ministry Bible. You'll learn a lot. I'm telling you, you'll learn a lot. Just read it. Show them pictures. You want to know? Dads, raise your hand if you have a daughter. How many of you desire for them to know what a godly man looks like? You want to know how to help that? Love your wife. You love your wife and you give your daughter an opportunity to see how she should be treated. I've told you this. This is one of my things, whether you agree with it or not. The simple things of opening up a door for your spouse. The simple things of letting them see what healthy love looks like. I'm going to tell you right now, husbands, if you have been disrespecting your wife, if you have been yelling at her, if you have been, just venting, guess who's watching you? Is that the image that you want your daughter to believe that's the way she should be treated? How many of you fathers have sons? Do you want to see them be able to be a man one day and raise their own family and provide for them? Teach them now. Wake them up on a Saturday morning. Take them outside. Clean the yard. Cut the grass. Get the cell phone out of their hand. It's possible to do work without pushing an app. Listen, you and I can be frustrated about the generation that we're in, but we're the ones that are giving them these things. It's our fault. We give it to them. And it's crazy how even kids my granddaughter's age know how to work an iPad more than I do. And I'm not here, please understand. All we had was VHS when I was growing up. We didn't have the internet, okay? So I understand it's a lot more challenging, and I know that there's those times where I just need a little bit of a break. I'm not saying that you can't do that. But if that gadget is more in their hand than their Bibles, who are you allowing them to be taught by? Whatever their little fingers are clicking. It's so important. Take them out on dates. Tell your son what a man looks like. Tell your daughter how she should be treated. Buy your daughter a purity ring. Let her know how valuable she is. Let her know the importance of waiting until they're married to have any kind of intimacy, and don't follow the things of this world. Give them the opportunity to hear the truth, and they need to hear it from you. So don't let it slip. Because again, that quote is real. You're not willing to teach them, the world will. And we don't like the ways of the world. I don't want them teaching my kids, my grandkids. So parents, it's our responsibility. Next verse, or next point, for us as a church, listen, what can we as a church learn from this passage? God help us not to hinder anyone from coming to Jesus. Whether it's children, youth, even young adults. What's interesting about this portion of scripture, some believe that the word children can refer to only infants. Others believe it refers to kids until they reach that age of having their bar mitzvah. If it's a girl, it's 12. If it's a boy, it's 13. It could be anywhere in there. But the reality is this. It's our responsibility to welcome everybody into this church. And the key way of not rejecting anybody is to remember this golden rule. We are never to forget we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Don't ever forget it. Next thing, never forget you were once young too. Come on now, how many of us thought when we were 14, 15, we knew it all, right? How many of us thought our parents were, I know more than you? How many of us completely just disrespected our parents because we thought we were it? We all been there. But can we just agree on something? Thank God that kids are here. Can we all agree that we thank God that they're involved in our youth ministry? Do you realize that last week, Johnny, the youth leader, scheduled a volunteer day to go over and work and sort out food over at the Utah Food Bank. You know how many youth showed up? 30. Praise the Lord for that. So what if they come in here with a shirt that says AC/DC? So what if their hair is blue, yellow, pink? So what? I'm pretty sure back in the day when we were wearing those bell bottoms, people looked at us like, you're an idiot. Right? Come on now. We thought we were all cool. So what if they have tattoos and piercings? Go get one with them. Oh, now I'm going to be misquoted on YouTube. You guys get my point, right? You guys understand what I'm saying? There's diamonds in the rough. Do you think that it was easy for the Apostle Paul, knowing who he once was? Now we understand why many of the disciples were afraid to meet with him, because they thought he was just lying, and it was just a trap to try and imprison them. Can you imagine how hard it was for him to come into the church? I know that there's a big generational gap, but how do you break that gap? Love. How do you break that gap? Be patient. How do you break that gap? Listen, extend grace the way that God's extended it to you. How do we allow people to know that they're welcomed here? Give them a hug. Say hello. Why do you think I kid around with you and turn to your neighbor and say, what's up? That's just a little kid thing. I want you to be hip whenever, and so you walk, hey, what's up, you know? Get a good laugh at it, right? But you're connecting in some way. And what's crazy is this, every kind of thing that we've looked at, everything that I've looked at, notice this really quick. I think, I could be wrong, but when all of this social media started happening, it was MySpace. Okay? All the kids were on it. And then when our parents got on it, then you transferred over to Facebook. And then when Facebook, all of us old people got on Facebook, then everybody transitioned over into Instagram. And then when all of us parents started going onto Instagram, then the kids all started leaving and going over to TikTok. And whenever you parents go on TikTok, then they're over on that Twinkie Winkie and everything else that's out there. I guarantee you there's probably about two other platforms out there that I have no idea about. But the moment we find out about it and the moment we jump on, the kids are leaving. Why? Because they feel like we don't welcome them. They feel like we want something of our own. We're tired of being told what to do. See, there's where you have it wrong. We're not here to tell you what you have to do. We're here to tell you that Jesus loves you. And his way will look different than yours, but that doesn't change the fact that he loves you. And I just pray we would learn. I don't want anybody turning away out of this door, of these doors of our church because of a look, because of us being immature and not knowing how to embrace and welcome people. And I've shared this already with you before. We welcome everybody, but we're not going to cater. We're not going to allow the ways of this world to enter into this church. We are going to continue to teach the Bible. And if anybody's willing to be here to sincerely seek God, we're going to let God change and transform their hearts. He doesn't need our help. Let God do it. Does that make sense? You guys follow with what I'm saying? So please, let us be a church that loves, that encourages, that welcomes, and more importantly, let's give them an example of what loving Jesus looks like. Let's not send a mixed message. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word, and as we prepare our hearts for communion, will you please continue just to, Lord, pour out your spirit upon our hearts and our lives. And as we do take communion, before we do that, I just want to invite anybody here this morning who may not have received Jesus into their heart. I pray that after what was shared today, that you would be willing to know that God loves you, that you would know without a shadow of a doubt that you're welcomed here. I pray that you would know that there's a way to be right with God, and that's through Jesus. His death on a cross paid the penalty of the sins of the world. And that penalty, it's eternal separation. Jesus just didn't die so that we would not sin anymore. He saved us from an eternal punishment. That's the beauty of God's love for us today. And when you believe that with all of your heart and you confess your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. And I want to encourage anybody here today, if this is you, just slip up your hand, because it would be an honor to pray for you to receiving Christ this morning. And so just slip up your hand right where you're at if there's anybody here. We're not going to prolong this. Lord, I want to thank you for gathering us here this morning. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, Lord, may we come before you confessing. And that way, when we take communion, Lord, we will do it in a way that honors you. So we love you. We thank you again for your word today. Bless your saints. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I'm going to have the elders go ahead and start passing out the elements. As they pass it out, I just want to encourage you. We do not force anybody to take communion. If you do not feel comfortable doing it, just pass the plate on by. But if you gather the communion elements, hang on to them. We're going to take communion together. And then while you're worshiping the Lord, it's your opportunity to get your heart right with God. Again, we want to take communion in a way that honors the Lord. And so we're going to worship the Lord now. And please don't forget, hang on to those elements.
All things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. Cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we are the one our hearts adore. The hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. And all that was lost has found its place in you. Our weary head, you make us strong instead. You took these rags and made us beautiful. Sing it out. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. 'Cause Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we
Jesus. Let's all stand. Father, this morning we stand before you holding this bread in our hand, and I am so thankful for your love. as undeserving as we are. God, you willingly laid down your life so that we could have life. It was by your wounds that we have been healed, that we've been forgiven, that penalty of sin was paid for. And because you rose again from the grave, we now have hope. Jesus, thank you for all that you have done, for all that you continue to do, and the things that you will faithfully guide us through in the future. We love you, and we come with a heart of gratitude. Thank you for saving us. Let's take of the bread. As we hold this cup in our hand, we pray, God, that we would hold on to your promises and remember the beautiful picture that we walk away with today of you embracing, you welcoming, you holding on and giving a blessing upon those kids. That is for us today. And I pray, God, that we would extend that same love to one another. Until we see you, Jesus, may you please pour out your spirit upon us that we may live for you. Help us each and every day to deny our flesh and to surrender our hearts to you. And until we see you, Lord Jesus, we commit our hands, we surrender our hearts into your hands. We love you and we thank you once again for the price that you paid. Let's take of the cup. God, go before your people today. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, before we end our service, I just want to share a couple of things with you. If you have any prayer requests, I want to invite you to come on up. We're going to have a prayer team up here that would be happy to minister to you and pray for you. Second, next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, okay? Now listen, we're not canceling church, all right? But listen, just for a fun Sunday, if you want to come sporting your team colors, please bring them. It's all good. You know, for us who team didn't make it to the Super Bowl, we'll have a little morning party. For those of you who are team is in the Super Bowl, God bless you. But eventually there will only be one winner, so don't get upset. Don't give anybody the crooked eye when you leave. It's just for fun, okay? So wear your colors. God bless you all. Love you. Let the Lord continue to lead you. Amen. God bless you all.